Welcome to another creative and encouraging teaching by Pastor David Hughes, lead pastor at Church by the Glades. For more information on Church by the Glades, including directions and service times, please visit us at www.cbglades.com.
Oh man, that is so good. Put your hands together loudly. It's fun. It's so fun to worship by way of generosity. Thank you for being part of literally changing the world. Go ahead and take your seats. Take your seats. If you're a guest, so good to see you today. I'm David. I'm one of the pastors. And find your Bibles quickly. I want to jump right into the study. Great text today. It's Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, all three campuses. When I say three, let's loudly say that text together. Acts chapter. Acts chapter. Come on, you can go loud. Acts chapter. So find your Bible or find that app on your smartphone. And I want to jump right into the study. And here is kind of the premise today. I want to talk to you about this. I hope you know that every time I stand here to teach, this is something I do not take casually. On the other hand, I've spent a lot of time getting ready for this moment with you. I value this time with you. I've spent a bunch of time preparing and praying, prepping and praying some more and researching and digging through the scripture and praying some more than memorizing, meditating, getting ready for this moment. And I do that with the expectation that you come to this house right now for this time, ready to listen. To listen. Now, perhaps that's a dubious assumption on my part that you're listening. But when the word of God is spoken over you and you listen, when you are attentive, when you press in, something very powerful is unleashed in your life. So when we come together at a time like this, I want to show up biblically loaded for bear, but you need to listen. Because listen is so powerful when you listen to God's word. Amen? Amen? That was weak. Are you listening as I talk about listening? Amen. Put your hands together. It's vital. It's crucial that you listen. That you listen. Usher, I got two good seats down here in the second row. Two good seats. Ushers on the second row, man. These are courtside seats down here for somebody. I got good seats down front. Don't normally have that. So listening is and let's just be honest, too. Some of us, we listen differently, right? Some of us, we zone out easily. Even the way the generations listen is different. You notice our stage, we stack our stage with different ages, but because I'm middle age, we like to put a lot of young guns on the stage. In fact, our youth band led the charge today. How good was that? That's our student band. But if you come all the time, you notice our student band doesn't look very different than our normal band. We got lots of young guns with pimples on our stage, man. I think it's awesome. Because the Bible, man, God leverages young leadership all the time. People like Joseph in the Old Testament, Mary in the New Testament, Daniel, God using teenagers. But I recognize as our church is a multi-generational church. You can look around, you'll see very, very young people, and you'll see very senior adults in the house, that we hear differently, even physiologically. Let me demonstrate. I'm going to play a series of tones. In fact, you can get an app on your smartphone that does the same thing. And based on your age, you may or may not be able to hear the tone that is played. All right, check out this first one. If you are under the age of 70, you'll likely be able to hear this tone. Guys, when I say three, play the tone. One, two, three, and... Okay, raise your hand if you hear that. You can turn it off. It's kind of piercing. Okay, anybody just... I don't want to embarrass you. Anyone not hear it? Not hear it? You're probably over 70, or you listened to a lot of loud rock and roll back in the day. That's good. All right, this next one is age 30 and under... should be able to hear it, but if you're like me and you're over 30, you may not. Ready, guys? Hit it. I have no idea if it's playing. Is it playing? I guess it is. I see lots of hands. Put your hands down. Okay, this next one is if you're 18 and under. 18 and under. Guys, ready? 18 and under. You should be able to hear this tone. And go. I see some hands. Just a few hands. Just a few. Now, I want to play that, parents. That's good. That's good. Good job, guys. I want to play it because you know they now have ringtones like that that your kids can hear but you can't for the smartphone? Watch those kids. Watch those kids. You see, physiologically, we listen differently. We hear differently. But some of it's just issues of attention. Like, I have attention issues. I tend to zone out really easily. I would say I'm probably not a very good listener. Raise your hand if you're just, it's not a hearing issue, just listening. If you're not a very good listener, raise your hand, be honest. I should listen better than I do. If you raise your hand, that doesn't mean that you're unintelligent or ungodly. But I'm going to show you We're in Acts chapter 8. I'm going to show you in Acts chapter 1 some very smart, godly people who, in my opinion, did not listen very well. I told you as we began this whole study of the book of Acts earlier this summer, we spent about 10 weeks on this, and the default verse, if you want to see what's going on anywhere else in the book, come back to the reset verse on Acts. It's Acts chapter 1, verse 8, a pivotal passage. The speaker here is the Lord Jesus. He's given a word of commission to the church. He's saying, this is your marching orders until I return. Here's what you do in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You stay in chapter 8, but here's what it says. Jesus said, here's what you guys do. And I've highlighted, in my opinion, a key component to this command. Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Now, that's where they were. Some of y'all saw that video we played on our orphanages. You saw there were mission teams going, and your takeaway was, well, I need to do a mission trip. That's a great takeaway. But guess what? That helps those kids for 1 week. We feed those kids 52 weeks a year. And I found this. It's great to care about people in Jesus' name far away. That's a good biblical thing to do. But don't pass over one mission field to get to the next. Your Jerusalem is your mission field. I mean, right here in this city, with your neighbors, with your co-workers, with your fellow students, you need to bear witness to those folks. So here's what you do. Be my witnesses. Get ready. In Jerusalem and in all Judea and... Did I sneak up on you? Let's try it again. I say, in all Judea and... Samaria. When I say three, say it damn again. One, two, three. Samaria. That was a neighboring city and region, Samaria. So take this gospel, go to Jerusalem, Judea, then Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. For he is a global God. I love we help people right here in this community. We're going to serve the city here this next week, but also we help kids in faraway places. We network with missionaries all around the world because he's a global God. But notice there's a key geographical component to that imperative. Go, share, be witnesses, leverage influence, relationships, Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. And where? Are you listening? Where? Samaria. Now, in the next seven chapters of the book of Acts, you see the church blowing up. You see thousands, literally tens of thousands of people coming to Christ. You see the exponential growth of the early church, and it happens all in Jerusalem and Judea. And so, though these are some of those famous Christians that hear this statement, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This is all the big shots like James, John, Peter, Tom, all the famous ones. It seems like this last part about going to Samaria, they weren't listening. Because over the course of seven chapters, it's not a few weeks, it's years. And it's like they neglected this important thing that Jesus said, that they weren't listening. And they were smart and godly, but they missed this part. So, that was Acts 1, 8. Flip Acts 1, 8, and now let's look at Acts 8, 1. A little verse by verse this week, next week, and it's been 2 weeks, this great, great chapter. This stuff is so very, very good. So here's what happens in chapter 8, 1. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and... Good reading. So finally... It's been seven chapters and a number of years. Finally, they're going to take the gospel to Samaria. The Jesus was very specific, geographically speaking, take the gospel to Samaria, but they kind of missed that part. They were not listening, and finally they listened. By the way, did you see the catalyst to get them to finally listen? It wasn't for love of Christ or love of the gospel. What got them moving was persecution. Read the chapter before, and a godly guy named Stephen is murdered by some religious haters, some small-minded people. Kill this guy. What happens is I found in life, if I don't listen to God, God may take his hand of blessing or protection off my life and allow life to turn up the heat on me to finally wake me up to where I listen. I mean, in your life, God won't cause the pain or the pressure. But if you stiff arm God in some area where he's trying to get your attention, he's trying to speak, but you won't listen, he'll find, say, you don't want to listen to me, God says, great. I'll take my hand of blessing off you. You do life on your own for a season. By the way, good luck with that. And my guess is eventually there's such frustration and dysfunction in your life. You finally go, God, am I not listening to something you want me to do? Has it ever happened to anybody here? Anybody? If you've been saved longer than 15 minutes, it's probably happened to you.
Maybe right now you're in that season of frustration, dysfunction. What it is probably in some area of your life. I'm not saying that God did not cause these mean people to kill Stephen. He just stops protecting. He stops blessing, and life will beat you up till you listen to God. So they finally listen. But here specifically, who's the one person? I'm going to show you two smart people over the next 2 weeks. Who's the one smart guy who finally listens to what Jesus said seven chapters before, Acts chapter 1? Who's the first one? Drop down to verse 4. We're going to see his name. Here's the guy, the hero of our story today. The first one who finally takes action on what Jesus said to do. Those who have been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip, loudly, Philip went down to a city in Samaria. All right. So this cat named Philip finally listens to God and does what God asked, what Christ asked so clearly back in chapter 1. He takes the gospel to Samaria. Now, what do we know about Philip to this point in the text? Very little. He shows up like one time in one verse. In chapter 6, he's one of the seven guys chosen by the church to help out. There's a crisis. There's widows who are hungry, not getting enough food. So he's chosen to be kind of a volunteer, a servant in the church, and he's dispensing food to hungry people. He was a social justice guy. I love that. He was a serve the city kind of guy. He's getting his hands dirty. He's offloading semi-trucks with food. It's great. He does whatever is needed. Then he shows up in chapter 21 later on, mentions he shares the good news. He's an evangelist, not a professional minister, just shares the good news. Then it also mentions he did life, guys, with four unmarried adult daughters. Probably why he was such a good listener. When you're doing life with four or five women, you better learn to listen, guys. Amen, ladies? Amen. You better, amen, thank you. You better dial up your listening. They're good communicators. So that's all we know about Philip to this point. But man, God chose him. And the funny thing is, to be the first one to take the good news to Samaria, why did God not choose some of the more famous Christians? Why did God not choose Matthew? Why did God not choose Peter, James, Joe? Why this guy we know very, Philip, answer? He listened. That took him a few years and seven chapters, but he's the first one that when God spoke, he listened. He listened. It is crucial when God speaks. And by the way, how does God speak to us today? Primary way. Primary way, Word of God. Word of God. Maybe you're reading it on your own, or maybe someone teaching you, listening to a podcast, but the main way, and by the way, every other way God speaks to you will never conflict with this. Anything you think that God wants you to do but it doesn't align with the Bible, that's not God. That's you. Main way he speaks to us. All right, main way he speaks to us is the Word of God. It's why we're all about Jesus and his Word at church. That was terrible. We're about two things, Jesus and his Word. We teach the Word of God here. So he listened. What happens is he comes and he shares. You read the next few verses on your own as homework this week, and you'll find out people start receiving Christ. Thousands find forgiveness. They're qualified for heaven. There's a revival breaks out in Samaria. And by the way, the resistance of the disciples going to Samaria probably was not one of logistics or distance. It was racism. The ancient Roman world, I told you before, was a racist world, and Jews disdained Samaritans, and Samaritans disdained Jews. It was a racial thing, and all the early Christians at this point are all Jewish Christians, and I think they don't want to reach to the other side of the tracks, so to speak. I think it's a racial thing. But the first place in the human family's history where racial barriers are broken down is the Church of Jesus Christ. See, for God, there's not going to be a Samaritan church and a Jewish church. It's all one church. In Christ, there is no slave nor free, no Jew, no Gentile, not even male nor female. We're all one in Christ Jesus. Amen? And so God has no patience with that stuff. But Philip is the first one to go to Samaria, and he preaches. All these people get saved. Such a big revival breaks out that the Jerusalem church sends its heavyweights. Finally, they send Peter and John, two most famous Christians probably at that time. And they come and they check it out and they're amazed. And they pray for the Samaritans and the Holy Spirit falls. And there's miracles happening and people getting saved right and left. Why? Because one guy named Philip finally listened. When I say three, loudly say the word listen. One, two, three. It's vital. When God speaks, we press in. We take the information to heart. I expect when you come here, you have an open mind, open heart, open ears. And when God speaks, We listen. When we listen, when the words of God are spoken over us, it's catalytic, it's life-changing, it's miracle-producing, it sets you free in every way you can be set free, but we must listen. Philip, he's not the most experienced, not the most recognized, not the most famous, but he listens, so God used him. Now, if you think it's remarkable, fast forward to verse 26. Verse 26, God's going to speak to Philip again. Now, he listened. He listened to what Jesus said way back in chapter 1, but it took him 7 chapters or a number of years. This time, he's going to listen in a more quick fashion. Look what happens now, verse 26. Now, the angel of the Lord said to Philip, y'all read, is that coming up slow? You guys are reading slowly. Let's listen and read quicker. Ready? And the angel of the Lord said to Philip, go. Go. All right, now I have a second component. Now I want to listen. I want to listen. And when God speaks, this is kind of obvious. Listen. When God speaks, I want to, what do you think? I want to what? There you go. It's simple. When he says go, I want to go. Listen, go. Listen, go. I want to listen and go when God speaks. Now what God says is a little strange. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Anybody recognize the name Gaza? It's been in the news a lot lately. That's the disputed area between Palestine and Israel, Hamas. A little history on Gaza. Man, the Bible is so wonderfully relevant, isn't it? Gaza has been a disputed area for centuries. Before the Israelis and Palestinians, it was dominated by the Egyptians. Before that, part of the British Empire. Before that, for hundreds of years, the Ottoman Turks ruled in the area. Back in the 7th century B.C., Islamic jihadists conquered that area, forced Islam upon the people. But way back in your Bible, in the Old Testament, David, King David, captured Gaza. It was a Philistine outpost back in the Bible. Long troubled history in that area. Man, the Bible is so relevant. But what God tells Philip to do, go to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is kind of a weird thing that God asked him to do. You see, back in his time, there were two desert roads or two roads to Gaza. Neither one was very busy. Neither one was often traveled. In fact, the desert road was the least busy of the two unbusy roads. So if you are Philip, it doesn't make a lot of sense what God is asking him to do. He's thinking, wait, God, I'll do whatever you want. Way back in chapter 6, you wanted me to wait tables, feed people. I did it. Then you said, go to Samaria. And I went and I preached. And look at this, God, thousands of people are being saved. I mean, tens of thousands are coming to Christ. I'm seeing miracles break out. But you want me to leave all this? God, want me to leave cities being saved? A urban center revival and go to a lonely desert road that is deserted? That didn't make a lot of sense. I mean, the desert road to Gaza was like a little country road. It was like a Dairy Queen and one stoplight. But then the highway comes in. Now they don't have a Dairy Queen, just a stoplight. It was that kind of place. It didn't make much. Often when God speaks, what God will ask you to do at first is kind of weird. It's countercultural, counterintuitive. God, that didn't make a lot of sense. God, I didn't really, I should articulate my faith. Won't people think I'm weird or odd or overly religious? David mentioned tithing. You want me to live off 90% instead of 100%, saying that your blessing on the 90% will go further than 100% without your blessing? God, mathematically, that doesn't make much sense. So many things in life, God will speak, and at first they seem a little crazy, but if God speaks, listen and go. If God speaks with clarity, listen and go. Two happy people. And I looked at this weird verse, you know, go leave all these people, these thousands being saved, go to the desert road. And I thought, why would God have him do that? Why? And you know what hit me? How much one person matters to my God. I mean, my God is the God of the cities. My God loves the masses, for God so loved the world. But I think God so loved the one. See, my pastor growing up when I was a kid, he would say, if you've been the only sinner, Jesus still would have come and died on the cross just for you. I love that idea. Trouble is, I can't find a Bible verse that says that specifically. I can't find one verse that says that if you'd been the only jacked up person, if I'd been the only messed up person, Christ would have still come and died for just one. I can't find that verse, but I surely find that principle right here. Here's where I see the principle is. Here are thousands upon thousands of people coming to Christ in Samaria, but God says, great, thank you for listening and coming to Samaria. Now leave Samaria and go to this lonely, deserted road because I got one guy. I got one remarkable guy. There's going to be a divine appointment. It's not going to be 10 people, 20 people, 100, one guy, one remarkable person who matters so much to me. See, my God is all about the one person. One person matters so much to my God. You matter so much to my God. I may not know your name, but he knows your name. I don't know anything about your life. He knows everything about your life, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and he loves you like crazy. My God is all about the one. So I see here, Philip, he calls him from a mass crusade to meet one remarkable individual. My God loves the one. Jesus died for just the one. If you'd been the only messed up person, Jesus still would have come and died for you. How cool is my God? That, by the way, that's the reason at Church by the Glades, we do some out-of-the-box stuff to get one more person to show up and to hear the gospel and maybe choose you. We did a dog weekend last weekend. That's a weird, dumb idea. It's just a weird, dumb. But you know why? I didn't do that because I love dogs. I do it because I love dog lovers. And I would love for one dog lover to come to this house because they love their dog and fall in love with my God. Because it's all about the one. So this is illogical. When God calls you to make this move, when he speaks to your heart, it may not make much sense. It's going to be counterintuitive. Surely counterculture, but you listen to God. You listen and you go. And by the way, I wrote down this note too. And why did God choose Philip? Because now we got more famous Christians there. Now we have Peter and John in Samaria. Why did he choose Philip? Philip is not as experienced, not as recognized, not as... Why did he choose Philip? Answer, Philip was the only guy who had listened. God will do remarkable things with you if you will listen to him. Even before God speaks, you will say, God, I don't know what you're going to ask me to do, but my answer is yes, I will go. Whatever you say that to God, get ready for life to become an amazing spiritual adventure. Listen, man, listen. Put your hands together right there, man. Listen, listen. By the way, if you're a guest, you're not clapping for me. We're affirming what God has said in his word. All right, so here's what happens is if God tells me, and it's weird, leave this mass revival, leave the city. You've never been used in a bigger, more evident way in your life, but trust me, leave it, go to the desert road to Gaza. And so what happens is, well, in my Bible, verse 27 immediately follows verse 26. I'm guessing this is the same in your Bible too. So right after verse 26, when he says go, I see verse 27. What Philip does, the third word in verse 27 is so brilliant, so intelligent, so remarkable. It's on the screen right now. So he... See, some of you, listen, God is speaking to you about some area of your life you've never, ever before surrendered to him. And the fact that you have no track record, you have no personal history in this area, you have no momentum, that intimidates you. I've never been there before. I've never tried that before, God. I've never, it looks like a really long, difficult journey, God. But I've never, never, ever, I can't go that far. I can't do it. I'm not strong enough. I'm not resolved. How? What do I do? What do you do? When God lays that new decision, here's what you do. You pray a prayer, take a breath, and then you do this. If that was too complicated, I can do it again. You take a step. You take a first step. You get started. You just got to start. You're all worried about the middle and the finish, and you got to start. And by the way, you start today. You start today. So he didn't know why he was being called to the desert road. He didn't know what would happen there. It seemed like kind of a ludicrous, counterintuitive thing for God to ask him to do, but he's going to go, and how he goes is he gets started. He gets started. Somebody here, you're thinking about the end and the process and the intermediate. You just got to get started. You got to take your first step and take that step today. Right now is your time, my brother, to get started. May I get all up in your stuff? Can I get it personal with you? Do you mind if I get all up in your chili for just a moment? I wrote down some areas where you may need to get started. For someone, it's your education. You've been whining for years about your lack of success and progress in your career, and you go, I didn't get enough education when I was younger. Let's fix that. I didn't get my degree. Let's get your degree. Whatever degree that is, my GED, get your GED. I never finished college. I didn't start college. Okay, let's get started. Here's what you do. Monday morning, you show up at the admissions office at Broward College. Say, give me an application. I don't even know if it works that way, just on Pastor David told me to come. You show up or go online. You register for some classes right now, but do it today. When you leave church, go home and get started. There's somebody here, you are not healthy. You don't like the way that you look. You don't feel good. You need to lose some weight. Always kind of whining about your health. Let's get started. Gyms are open on Sunday. Go join the gym. Go online. Find a diet. At least in Jesus' name when you pray, put down the Twinkie. Let's get started. I really need to volunteer at the church. I should serve at the church. I should do something at the church. Great. Go to guest services today when you leave and say, I want to volunteer somewhere. Sign me up today. Let's do it. I've never read my Bible. I tried a few times. I didn't understand it. I never stuck with it. Guess what? Let's get started. Go out to the resource center, find a Bible you can understand, or if you like free, I love me some free 99. Take your smartphone, download the YouVersion. It's a free Bible app. It will have multiple translations of the Bible and reading plans. Let's start this thing. Let's start it today. I don't know where to read. Book of Acts, chapter 1. Let's get started. There's something you need to start. Guess what? Part of this, yes, you resource ministries here, but some of you guys, this will help you learn to listen to God. For some of you, you've never given before. This is the way you start. This is the way you start. You can grab your blue envelope on the way out. Oh, that applause was terrible. Clap even if you're not going to give. Thank you. I'm going to do something. There's somebody here, listen, somebody here, because if you're around all the time, you know our agenda is not your money. We seldom talk about money. Probably don't talk about it enough. But some of you guys, that's one of the areas you are really unhealthy is your finances. And as your pastor, I want to help you find health in every area you need to find health. And so we're going to offer classes called Financial Peace University. And I'm going to push hard for you guys to be part of this because thousands of people in our church need to be part of Financial Peace. I think it's 10 weeks. It's one day or night a week. Some of the days we'll even watch your kids. There's a small charge. The church makes zero on this. But it's all about you getting healthy. Some of you guys are so financially frustrated you couldn't give if you want to. You're so upside down financially, you need to sign up. Go to guest services, sign up today. Others, you're not just that dysfunctional, but there's always financial pressure on you. You never have a margin. There's always stress on your marriage. Go sign up today. See, what I'm saying today and get started, some of you guys, here's what you do. You finish whatever the issue in church that God touches your life, a habit, a relationship, a new deal, here's what you do. Like, wow, David, thank you so much. I'm going to go home and pray about that. Think about that. I'm going to go home, really give that some serious. Know what you're doing is? You're not starting. What you really are doing, stop lying. What you're doing is that you're going home and hoping to get distracted, that you can shake off the conviction of the Holy Spirit because you don't want to listen. Don't be a big fat liar. Let's start this thing today. Let's start this thing today. Why? Well, I don't see that in the Bible. I don't see it. Well, it just said he got started. But I'll show you with more clarity. Verse 27 and 28. This is so good. So he started out on his way. He met a man from Ethiopia. I can't wait to study this guy next week. Next week is going to be the bomb. Next week, this is one of those remarkable guys, this African man, one of the most incredible. We'll learn so much from this guy. Great week next week to bring an unchurched friend. This guy in this story is not yet a Christ follower, and his moves are amazing. He's an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of Ethiopia. This guy is juiced. He's an influencer. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah. Now look at verse 29. Get ready, verse 29, verse 30. This is amazing. In fact, this is so big, I want to put verse 29 and verse 30 on the biggest screen I have. So it's on the side screens. Give me next verses, guys. Next verses. And you ready? It's going to be on the center screen. Look at what God says and what Philip does. This is amazing. Here we go. I love my job. This is so fun. Here we go. Then the Spirit told Philip. Go. Ready? Ready? Sorry. Then the Spirit told Philip. Go. That's good. told Philip, go to that chariot, stay near it. Liz, this is so good. Then Philip
ran.
Wow. I'm gonna add one here. Listen, go, run. Listen, go, run. Come on, say it with me. Listen, go, run. Listen, go, run. Listen, go, run. When God speaks, listen, go. See, what's changed between chapter 8, verse 1 and now? Chapter 8, verse 1, Philip listened, but it took him 7 chapters. Now, he's the first one to get there, but they were all kind of slow. Now, he does not afford himself the luxury of hesitation. Quick obedience. See, sometimes in life, there are fleeting windows of opportunity, and if you drag your feet, you will miss your moments. My God is a father, a loving, perfect, heavenly father. Parents, don't you love it when your kids obey you? Slowly. All right. Eye roll. Attitude. I'll do it. Dragging my feet. Body language of rebellion. I'm going to do it as slowly as I possibly can and still theoretically obey you. Doesn't that just bless your heart? Doesn't it bless your heart? Aren't you so moved? Don't you want to raise their allowance, buy them a new car when your kids obey you like that? My kids did it to me last night in church. In our meeting after the service, man, they obeyed me all slow, like, Charlie, why? I don't know why. Charlie, come on, you're better than that. Charlie, why? Man, gosh, no. When we obey right away, it's powerful. See, a lot of us, we want to give it that time, shake it off, delay the obey. But when you delay the obey, sometimes slow obey is equivalent to no obey. On the other hand, if you listen, go and run. Great things happen. Victory is yours. It's catalytic and transformative when you listen, go, run. Listen, go, run. Say it. Listen, go, run. Say it. Listen, go, run. When God speaks, I will listen, go, run. When the Spirit of God communicates to my heart, I will listen, go, run. This isn't complicated, isn't it? This is Christianity for dumb people. You can do this. By the way, for you super spirituals, it never gets beyond this either. I don't care how much doctrine you've memorized. I don't care if you've memorized the entire book of Leviticus. If you're not running with what God has given you, if you're not doing what God has shown you, man, you're not mature. You're just full of information. Listen, go, run. We got to wrap this thing up really quickly. This is so rich. Man, this is a brilliant formula right here for life success in God's eyes. So he's going to run. He's going to run up to join the chariot. And he asks a question. Hey, guy reading the Bible, do you know what we're reading? Do you understand it? And we're reading the verses in between. The man, this brilliant African man, invites him into the chariot. And by the way, this is a breach of protocol. You don't go up and join a chariot of an important affair. By the way, it's not one chariot. It's probably like a whole entourage of chariots. It's probably because this guy you're going to see next week is a very, very important political official. I mean, he has aides and assistants and bodyguards and Secret Service guys and Ray-Bans. And again, too, when you do what God calls you to, listen, this is very important. It's going to feel foolish at first. Can we knock off the dust of this story? Don't spiritualize the story. Here is Philip. He's walking a dusty desert road. He's sweaty. He's dirty. He's dust-covered. Here comes this entourage. Going by, you know, all these chariots and this famous guy and this influential guy and his bodyguards and stuff. And then the Hebrews, you recall, they wore their hair long and their beards untrimmed. So he's a sweaty, hairy guy covered with dust. And God says, hey, go join the chariot. Go. And he runs. Now imagine if you're in the entourage with the Ethiopian man. You're like the Secret Service guy. And here comes sweaty, dirty, hairy, Hebrew, hipster-looking guy coming your way. You're thinking, it's the worst carjacker in history. I mean, what a fool. It's going to feel a little foolish and strange when you take that step. Your friends won't understand. Your bros, what are you doing? Really, y'all involved in church? You're involved in church? You used to be clubbing all the time. You can do church on Sunday morning. You're so hungover. So, really, what? It's going to feel weird. But listen, go, run. He runs up and he joins it. Oh, yeah, this text is so good, this text. And what happens is the guy invites him up the chariot. Verse 35, then Philip began the very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Man, what we have is good news for a broken world about Christ. Drop down to verse 36, guys. Verse 36 for the sake of time. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water. The Ethiopian said, look, here is water. Why shouldn't I? A lot of us, when God speaks, we're like, oh, okay, God, I think I got you, but why should I do that? God, you give me like 37 reasons why I should do that, and maybe I'll do that. You see, the dynamic behind that is I'm sedentary, I'm stuck, I'm immobilized, I have no progress, I'm not moving unless you convince me I should move. The Ethiopian guy is so smart. He's good. God, I'm chasing you hard. I'm pursuing you. I'm saying I'm moving, and I'm going to do this baptism thing unless there's something I missed. If there's something I missed, I'll do that first. Then I'll get baptized. I love he's moving. He's following God. He's proactive with his faith. Give me that verse again, guys. Same verse. Pretty please. Same verse. Here we go. Look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be? Be what? Baptized. And then it continues. Baptism is a very beautiful biblical thing. They gave orders to stop the chariot. Both Philip and the eunuch went down, read it, went down into the water. See the physicality described there? Every time we see baptism in the Bible, they go down in the water. It's always, every time, biblically speaking, immersion. Every time. Now, if you were christened or sprinkled, I'm not saying that's bad. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Good night. Lots of us have been sprinkled. I'm not saying that's evil. If you were sprinkled as a baby, what were your parents thinking? No. But biblically speaking, baptism is always immersion. Always immersion. So if you've not been baptized by immersion, I think your move is listen to God, complete what your parents began, and be baptized, your own free choice. By the way, the progression of baptism in the Bible, someone always chooses Christ, then they're baptized. Never baptize first, then choose Christ later on. The sequence is always you say yes to Jesus by faith. That's the only biblical prerequisite for baptism. Then you are plunged under the water. In fact, the word baptizo in Greek means to be dipped or plunged underwater. So they go down into the water. Verse 39 is kind of an interesting detail. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. This is the first teleportation in history. I'm serious. I mean, he baptized the dude in the water. You know, I baptize you, my African friend, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lowers him in the water. When he comes out of the water, all of a sudden, poof, the preacher disappears. Now, why was that? Was that a sign for the Ethiopian? No. He was already convinced. In my opinion, it was a sign for the entourage. For these 2 dozen people with him or so, because they're thinking, man, my boss has lost his mind. Number one, he stops, he picks up the holy Hebrew hipster guy here, chases down, and then the guy talks about the Bible with him. Then he goes and lets the guy dunk him in the water. That's crazy. But when the preacher disappears, the entourage is like, baptize us too. We're choosing Jesus too. That's my opinion why that happened. But I like the last little statement here. Regardless of why that happened, and the Ethiopian did not see him again, but went on his way. Went on his way what? Are you listening? Went on his way what? It doesn't say regretful, discouraged, second guessing. Man, God's timing is so good. We got a beach baptism scheduled today. For some of you, that's your move. You've not been baptized by immersion, or you're just trusting Jesus, or you're baptized before you were saved, and the progression of the Bible is always salvation, then baptism, and so you need to be baptized. But the sad news is it's too late for you to register. Registration for beach baptism is closed. Guess what? So just show up at the beach. Just show up at the beach. Baptism is at 6 o'clock tonight. Show up at the beach, and it'll be nice people wearing like little name badges. Walk up and say, I want to be baptized. If you have questions, what that means are about salvation. That's the most important thing is salvation through Jesus Christ by faith. Say, I want to make sure I'm saved first. They'll take the word of God and lead you to salvation. If you want to talk to someone today, when I say amen in just a moment, at the edge of the stage, you're nice folks. We'll have the conversation with you right now. It's always good to start right now. But if baptism's your move, make your move. Make your move. It's a beautiful biblical thing. We'll baptize you today. Listen. Go. Run. But I'm uncomfortable and I still have questions. Duh. Still, listen, go, run. I got issues in my life. Let me clean up all my issues and then I'll come to Jesus. You will never come. Listen, go, run. Nobody leaving early. Nobody leaving early. Just real quick. Baptism is so beautiful. I want to just take 2 minutes and show you the beauty of baptism. It's a biblical thing. It's a Christ command. It's one of those dramatic things in all the Bible. So we have some video of a beach baptism. Just check this out. Some of these are the kids that were baptized last week. One as a result of youth camp. Give your attention to the screens. Man, I hope you watched. I hope you watched more than the waves, more than the pastors. I hope you looked at the faces. Do you see the faces? Our church, we baptized thousands of people. I baptized in my career 1,000 people myself, I would guess. And of all those great many people I baptized, I've never baptized one person who came out of the water saying, that was a big mistake. What was I thinking? I have tons of regrets. I just, no. On the other hand, though, everyone comes out smiling or crying tears of joy or high-fiving or fist-pumping. I've got so many hugs from people covered in water, seaweed, and snot, and I'm not even a hugger, but man, it's so awesome. I love what I do. That video is my crack cocaine, and I love seeing someone take that God plunge. And if that is the next move for you, or surrendering a habit, or being generous for the first time, or volunteering, whatever God's touched you, whatever he's spoken to you, my brother, my sister, listen, go. In fact, run. Listen, go, run. Don't go home and shake it off. Act now, get started. Listen, go, run. Stand to your feet. Listen, go, run. Say that with me loudly. Listen, go, run. When God speaks to my heart, listen, go, run. When I read the Word of God, listen, go, run. When I'm inspired in church, listen, go, run. Listen, go, run. Till my King comes for me. God bless you. See you next week.
Thanks for tuning in to another message at Church by the Glades. To watch our messages online, or if you would like more information about our church, please visit us at www.cbglades.com.